Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So Christ gave himself, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word. As I was contemplating this lesson to share it with you tonight and focus your thoughts, there was a word that kept jumping out at me. Actually, it's there more than once, and it had me pondering and wondering what that experience must have been like to suddenly have an angel standing amongst you asking you, what do you think you're doing? I mean, that's literally what the angel did. What are you doing? What are you doing standing here staring up in the sky? He's gone. He's not coming back soon, in the sense that he's coming back and he's going to come back the same way you saw him to go into heaven, but now it's time to get on with what he told you to do before he ascended. What was the mindset of the disciples in that moment? Were they ready and raring to go? Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit, and we know that they did that. It was only 10 days later that the Holy Spirit came upon them in power, and they spoke languages they had never learned, and they did amazing things that no one would have ever expected from these unschooled, ordinary men as they were acknowledged by the Sanhedrin, but they had been with Jesus. You think all of that through and you have to ask yourself the question, did they see and understand themselves as mature believers, mature leaders of the church in their moment as they began ministry away from Jesus, without Jesus physically present among them as they had become so accustomed? There's an easy answer, and it's actually dialing back to the first lesson of the day, to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Clearly, from the questions they asked Jesus in those last moments and the perspectives that they have of the kingdom of God and what it means and how it's going to come about, there is no doubt they are not mature. They are not ready. They are not focused as Jesus needs them to be. It seems as though if Jesus had continually stayed amongst them, there would be something of a shallowness to their understanding of themselves and their mission just from the perspective that he was there, always ready to go to and to step in and to take care of things. For instance, that time when they brought the young boy possessed by a demon that they just could not extricate, and Jesus does it for them and tells them it takes a little bit more than what they have in the tank to get it done. It's with prayer and intensity and fasting that this has to happen. And they clearly did not yet understand the depth of commitment and investment that Jesus was looking for from them. And that would happen throughout their time with him. And they would worry and wonder about it, what it would be like to not have Jesus present. And Jesus would tell them that there would come a time when their ministry would be very much different in regard to no longer having a daily session with Jesus, instructing and training and mood setting and encouragement before going out, but rather he would be sending them to Jerusalem and Samaria and the very ends of the earth. So I think the only fair way to answer that question, because each of the disciples that were standing there when the angel spoke to them, we're probably at a different place, just like we are all at different places spiritually at any given moment in our lives. And each one of us would admit, sometimes I'm more mature, sometimes I'm a whole lot less mature in my thinking and my doing and my witnessing and my relying. That the same answer given for each of them would have to be this: not as mature as they would be at the moment that they gave their lives for the gospel. The only exception to that would be John, who died in old age, a very mature age in his 90s. All the rest, some of them quite soon, others after years of being evangelists, would spend themselves completely for the cause of Christ. And by the time that happened, they understood well not only the message itself, but everything involved in what is referred to here as the works of service that build up the body of Christ. So I find it fascinating that Jesus ascending into heaven and giving us, instead of his own presence, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip us, his people, for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up, is intended to result in a number of things. First of all, a unity in faith, a knowledge of the Son of God, and then a becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, that is referring to each of us individually as believers. That everything that Christ has left for us, the individuals that he blesses our lives with, that play the roles defined by these terms that are here in the scriptures regarding Christian ministry of congregations and the Holy Christian Church, are all meant for the purpose of growing us, each individually, in our ability to serve others, find unity in faith with fellow believers. There's only one way to do that, and that is through the knowledge of the Son of God. And so that idea of each of us growing to know the Word better every day so that we can find commonality and relationship and unity with all those others who are doing the same thing, who are growing in their faith, their knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done and what it means for the way we live our lives every day, and then ultimately, as it expresses itself in the doctrine and the teachings, of a fellowship that we will join with like-minded people who have reached with us that unity of understanding of everything that Jesus has taught. And it's only then that we can become the kind of mature that he's labeling here as attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so wouldn't you say that what I just said about the disciples really is the same for each of us? That the maturity that is presented to us in these verses is a target, a goal for us to pursue throughout our lives, with a recognition that some days we will be closer to it and some days we will be a few steps back from where we were before. But the goal is an ongoing progression of day after day becoming more and more mature, because the fullness of Christ is something we're only going to know in eternity. We're only going to know in heaven. We're only going to know in the new heaven and the new earth after Christ returns. And so that simple recognition that day by day by day, Christ is giving us everything we need to continue to pursue our relationship with him, and then how that relationship changes our interaction with everyone else. Serving those who do not yet know Christ with the gospel, with its message itself of forgiveness and unconditional love and God's acceptance for all eternity of those who come to know and believe in Jesus as their Savior, and then how it leads us also to that unity and fellowship and that oneness with others who are also growing day by day to that level of maturity. But he takes it a next step, doesn't he, the apostle, when he's writing to the Ephesians. And the next paragraph really speaks to the issue of congregations and fellowships and groups of people when he says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." And so it also speaks to the reality that individual congregations and groups of congregations and groups of Christians, and in essence you could say the Holy Christian Church, militant here yet on earth, will never be perfect and will never be completely fulfilled in its desire to serve Christ and share the word, because we'll still always be sinful human beings. But by Christ doing his gifts of ascension, his gifts to the church of those who speak the truth in love, the body of Christ, the gathered believers, whether in a place like this or within the larger fabric of the whole church of Christ, of all believers from all persuasions and all geographies and all ages and ethnicities, everyone growing at the same time in their understanding of the word, so that day by day, the truth reveals all the deceitful scheming. The truth reveals all the cunning and the craftiness. The truth reveals all the human storms that create all of that wind and wave that blow here and there. Isn't it interesting that in an account selected for the ascension, we're reminded of the fact that there will be moments in our walk in our Christian lives where we will be hearing things that trouble us, that distract us, that disturb our faith and our peace in Christ, because they are spoken by those who we would like to trust, that we would like to believe are speaking only Christ's truth to us, but what they say only causes storms, only causes uncertainty, only causes us to feel like we're battered by the wind and the waves. And he tells us to understand those things for what they are. But the only way that will happen is if we are continually growing and maturing in our faith and our understanding of the word, and pursuing a deeper knowledge and a deeper expression of that knowledge in the things that we confess, that we believe, and that we teach, and that we share, that we cling to as the teachings of Christ, that are not able to be compromised because they are timeless, eternal, inerrant scriptural truth that must be at the center of all we are as individual believers and as a body of believers. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it's a reminder to us as individuals that we each have our role in hearing the word, understanding the word, growing in the word, so that we too are measuring the things that we hear to be certain that they measure up to the truth of Christ. That we eventually grow to be the mature Christians of our community, our families, our fellowship, that know and understand the deep truths of Christ in a way that can root out all of the scheming and the deceit and the ruffling of wind and water that cause the sailing of the family of believers into the future with hope and joy and confidence that we're coming every day closer to that moment when we meet Christ in that place he is preparing for us. We're told in the collective scriptures that speak of Jesus' descent into hell and his ascension back into heaven that his proclamation of his victory over death, over temptation, over Satan himself, and his ascension to his full glory, once again, using all of his power as God, even though he still wears his human flesh and nature, is all about his doing everything for the good of his church, guiding and ruling and judging as only he can for the outcome he desires. Those who belong to him, living with him in the eternity he initially set out to create for all of them in his calling of this universe into an existence. It's an expression of his love and the permanence of that love and the relentlessness and the inclusivity of that love and the mercy and compassion of that love in a way that you and I are warmed and comforted, encouraged to be all that Christ has called us to be and speak all that Christ has inspired us to speak when we gather together, whether that be confession, confession of sin, or confession of faith, whether that be our praise, our thanks, our intercessory prayers, our witness, our testimony of God's power and Christ's love in our own lives. All of it is evidence of two things: our maturing as believers and our collective maturing as the family of God. These are the things that Christ has called us to be about. These are the things that bear the promises of God, that when we make his word and our relationship with that word and the Lord who gives us that word the top priority of our existence as individuals and as a family of believers, all that Christ has designed for his family, his church, to be for the rest of this world's history and into eternity will happen. Christ will be worshipped. Christ will be witnessed. Christ will be believed. And souls will be won day by day to be those pursuing maturity in Christ and fulfilling the promises of our ascended Lord over and over and over again. What joy for us to be included in all of those that Christ has called, to be those who do his work, who call upon his name, trust him for forgiveness, and witness to his love in his world. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.